These four young people have been studying God's Word with me regularly for 2 years or so now, two school years, and we've been going through all sorts of things about what God tells us to do, essentially the Ten Commandments in the Bible, how God teaches us to pray, the Lord's Prayer. We've especially studied what baptism and Holy Communion are. This morning, especially, the second part of the creed. They're going to confess the whole creed to you in a little bit in the confirmation ceremony, but we're going to go through, what do we mean when we say, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord? So Donovan, what did Luther say about that? How did he explain that?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sin, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. All this he did that I should be his own, and live in, under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from death and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true.
This is most certainly true. Any one of those four would have said that just that well. That's very good. Help us, let's unpack that, Emily. So is Jesus like half man and half God? Or
he's all man and all God.
All man and all God. How do we know that? Mara, can you help us out? So four main reasons we know that Jesus really is completely God, just as much as the Father is God.
Divine names, divine attributes, divine works, and divine glory.
Divine works, like raising himself from the dead, and divine glory. And then, Josie, how do we know, Jesus isn't like pretending to be a man. He really is a full human being just like us, too. How do we know that?
The Bible says so. He has a human body, and he did human things.
Human things. He slept. He ate. He died. Very good. Let's have you do the next one, too. So, two reasons Jesus had to be a man if he was going to save us from our sin.
To be under God's law and to die.
Right. Only a man could die. Mara, how about why did he have to be God in order to save us from sin and death?
So he could ransom all by his death and so he could keep God's word perfectly.
Yep. In our place. Excellent. We'll come back to that thought. But, Emily, so we had a verse about that, about how Jesus is the only mediator we could ever have or need. What's that one from 1 Timothy?
For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ.
Very good. So Jesus is still a man today, Donovan?
Yes.
And why is that so important? We learned two main reasons.
He sympathizes with us in our weakness, and we receive his body and blood in the Lord's Supper.
Very good. We will do that ourselves, a special day for you guys in particular and for all of us. So, the word Jesus, let's pass it down maybe to Mara. Jesus means, Mara, Jesus means, the angel said the name of Jesus because?
The Lord saves.
The Lord saves, that's his name. And maybe to Josie next, how about Christ? His title is Christ?
The Anointed One.
The Anointed One, very good. The Father anointed the Son with the Spirit at his baptism. For three different jobs, maybe pass it down to Emily. What three different jobs, Emily, did the Father want the Son to take?
The prophet, priest, and king.
A prophet, priest, and king. Donovan, prophet. What was Jesus doing on earth as our prophet?
He preached God's word to the people.
Mm-hmm. And today, Jesus isn't walking the earth anymore. Is he still our prophet?
Yes, he sends out... he sends out believers to preach others.
Yeah, he sends his believers to preach his gospel. Good. Pass it down to Josie. How about the next one, Josie? As our priest, what did Jesus do on this earth as he walked this earth as our priest?
He prayed for the world.
Yep. And then on the day he died, he didn't sacrifice animals. What did he do?
He pleaded our case.
That's what he's doing right now. Very good. And on the day he died, he sacrificed...
His life.
His own life, himself. Very good. We were just reading about that in the gospel. Excellent. How about as our king, Mara? What did Jesus do as he walked this earth as our king?
He won victory over the devil, and he still rules over all things.
He is the ruler today over everyone and everything, ruling in your hearts, my heart, all believers' hearts. Very good. Back to Josie, perhaps. So the main reason Jesus lived on this earth wasn't to be our example. He did live as our example, but the main reason was
to Obey God perfectly.
Obey God perfectly in our place. Excellent. Back to Emily. So Jesus redeemed us. He gave himself to God. To redeem means, what did he do as a redeemer?
To assure us and to save us.
That's right. That's the part about his exaltation. That's right. When he first humbled himself, he redeemed us. Think of what Donovan was saying.
He paid the price for us.
Right. He paid the price to make us his own. That's good. Back to Donovan. So he redeemed us from what, Donovan? You said it before. He redeemed us from...
sin, death, and the devil.
Sin, death, and the devil. And back to Emily. What was that price, Emily? The price he paid was his...
holy, precious blood.
His holy, precious blood. His innocent suffering and death. So now he is exalted. He's not still redeeming us anymore. And I think you were saying it before. He is exalted. Why? To
assure us that he's our redeemer.
Yeah. He's proving it. So let's talk about the steps in his exaltation, his humiliation. Ultimately, he was crucified, he died, and he was buried. And then to Josie, I guess. Josie, so his exaltation means first he
descended.
Yep. Into then, hell. And then?
Then he rose. He ascended and he seated. And then he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yeah, he's coming to judge the living and the dead. Down to Donovan. So his descent into hell, Donovan, when was that? What was that about?
Early Easter Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. And why did he descend into hell?
To show that he had won.
To show that he had won. Stronger than the devil, preaching his victory. Very good. To Emily, how about his resurrection? No, you already said one, Emily. Let's give it to Mara. John 11. We memorized the verse. Jesus talks to Martha before he raises Lazarus from the dead. And what does he say about himself?
I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die.
Wonderful. Jesus is at God's right hand. Maybe that one we can give to Emily. What's he doing at God's right hand? Or why does that comfort us that he's seated at the Father's right hand?
He rules over us and has for the good of his people.
Always doing everything for our good, even troubles and sorrows that he sends our way. Good. Oh, let's go down to Josie. So the world is going to be better and better or worse and worse when Jesus comes again?
Worse and worse.
Worse and worse. When is that? Can you pass it down to Emily again? I don't know. Emily, when's Jesus coming?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. I heard a prediction that it would be tomorrow, actually. But, of course, no one knows. In fact, Mara was telling us yesterday, what's the other thing, Mara, about that? Not only does no one know, but...
no one will expect a time or hour.
No one will expect a time or hour. Very good. So, what will be, or what will happen down to Donovan when Jesus comes again? What things are going to happen then? In short,
all the dead will rise, and we will be called up to him in the air, and he will judge everyone.
He will judge everyone. Amazing. Sure. So, how will he judge? That's kind of a scary thought. Maybe let's pass it down to Josie. How can we be sure of how Jesus will judge us on the last day, Josie?
He will judge us on how he judges us now, whether we believe or not.
Whether we believe or not, and you believe in him. So he says you are not condemned. Wonderful. And he redeemed us for what three things, Mara? He redeemed us from sin, death, and the devil. All this he did that...
so we could live with him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness.
Perfect. How about to Josie? You wanna take us home, Josie? John 3:16 tells us how all this that Jesus did for us as he redeemed us, how it all becomes our own. It's not by anything we do. Rather, John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
We believe that with you. We're all going to sing that with you next. Why don't you have a seat again? And let's turn to hymn 510, and we'll pray for each other and for these young people. Hymn 510. I pray you, dear Lord Jesus, my heart to keep and trust.
reign at your holy temple, from youth to age remain. Oh, turn my thoughts forever from worldly wisdom's lore. If I but learn to know you, I shall not want for more.
The scripture we turn to for just a bit more. You already heard part one of the sermon, and I'm certain you heard the best sermon that you will hear today. Thank you very much. That was very good, and everyone else is going to tell you that later too. The scripture is 1 John chapter 3. We were reading it before. How great, in Greek there's a look. Just look, John says. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Everything we read here, this is God's word. Grace and peace to you all, especially to Josie and Mara and Emily and Diamond. Grace and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And would you all say it with me? Amen. So I'm going to talk especially to you. They're all going to listen too. But let's talk. Why the white robes? Have you thought about that already? Why the white robes? You could give a past reason, you could give a present reason, you could give a future reason. Why the white robes? Well, that's what's been done for many, many years here at Trinity and many other churches too. On this special day, those who stand up and pledge their allegiance to Jesus for all their lives, they wear white robes. I learned last night from a lady in our congregation who was in the confirmation ceremony in the early 1940s during the war, that she didn't get to wear a white robe. She had a white dress. So it's not always been white robes. But why white robes? A present reason is because it looks nice. We've already had a few pictures, and we'll take a few more after the service, and that could be the future reason, I suppose, is it will match other pictures, and they'll put ours up with others, and not the best reason, I don't think, why white robes. Very briefly, why do you wear them today? Why will you wear them forever? Why is it so cool? 1 John chapter 3, John writes, how great. Look, just look, he says. Don't miss it. This is a man who's really old. He's about as old as you are young. We don't know, was he in his 80s or 90s? He cannot get over it. Just look how great the love the Father has lavished on us. He's the last of the apostles. When he says us, he doesn't mean us apostles. He means all the believers, especially ones he was writing to, probably in what we would call southwestern Turkey today. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. This is the present reason. You were not God's child when you were born, and then your parents got you baptized, and God adopted you. I was at an adoption in a courthouse once. I will never forget it. I got to hand the mom a photo some months before that of the two children she would later adopt. I will never forget them. They weren't her kids, and then they became her kids. An even bigger miracle for you. You were born a child of God's wrath. The Bible says that's a strange way of talking. Some of our translations say an object of God's wrath. We just deserved it. We weren't on God's team at all. We weren't interested in being on God's team. And yet God bestowed. We don't usually talk this way either. It's kind of lofty language, isn't it? He lavished love on us. How great. And that is what we are. Doesn't it look that way to others? No, and that's why we wear white robes at least one day. I get to wear one every Sunday. But we all do in Christ, and this is what we are. This is the present reason. What a wonder. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. We have the same troubles as everybody else. We commit the same sins as everybody else. The devil works, he works on us too. So we don't look different to the world. John writes, dear friends, now we are children of God. That must be important. He says it twice. God is perfectly holy, and you are his child, and you are a chip off the old block in God's sight through faith in his son. You look to him just like his son looks. You couldn't shine more brightly. You are God's child. John says, now, dearly beloved, we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. That's the future reason. What a wonder. We don't really know exactly how it's going to turn out. We know Jesus is going to come again. In this congregation, it's a really sad thing, but it's a pretty helpful thing to think about too. In the congregation that John was writing to, you can tell from the rest of the letter that others had been part of the group and they had left. They had received the Lord's Supper like you're going to do this morning. They had been baptized evidently. And then they left. They stopped believing that Jesus was their Savior. They believed other things about Jesus that were wrong. We don't have to go into all the details. And what they were had been made known. They left, and so it showed that they weren't even Christians anymore in this congregation. Whereas John says about us and about the first readers he was writing to, dear children, what we will be has not yet been made known. What a wonder to wear a white robe on this day in future hope. We know, John says, that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. You'll go outside after this service and it's going to be really bright and you would never look at the sun. It's just too bright. But Jesus says we will shine like the sun on the last day in the kingdom of our Father. How will that work? How can we have eyes that can actually look at the brightness of God? How can we be like Jesus with a perfect, glorious body? As sure as he lives, as sure as he reigns, as sure as he has not left us, he ascended on high, but not to leave us. John says he's going to appear. You just can't see him. He's here. And on the last day, he's going to appear. What a wonder. What a good reason to wear a white robe today. Not because we're in a graduation ceremony from Christianity or from studying God's word, but number one, the present reason, because we are God's children. He adopted us. Number two, because we will be like Jesus. And the third reason then, maybe I should have said that we had a past reason and a future reason. The third reason is the present reason. We went out of order chronologically. John writes, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. What a wonder. Because in other churches, in other places, certainly the goal would be now you shape up. And it would say something like in a fake Bible. It would say, no, you must purify yourself. And God has all sorts of commands, no doubt. Or you should purify yourself. And this is going to work out individually for the four of you because you have different personalities and God has different futures in store for you. But what a wonder that God would work in you a desire to be like the sunshine, to be like the snow that's melting, to be pure, to be a white robe fits it really well. To live your life for him in every way. In every sorrow to turn to him, in every opportunity to glorify him. What a wonder that you want to stand up and say that in front of the rest of us. We are so glad to pray for you today. We are so glad to invite you to the Lord's table today. What a wonder. The grace of our God that will never end. Let's all praise him and sing, shall we, together? Our hymn summarizes 1 John 3:1-3.